Blog Talk Radio.
You're a grown-up. You don't need a script. Let's just get to know each other. Tell me about yourself.
Okay. What do you want to know? I'm rich, very rich, but a do-gooder. I help poor people, orphans, whales, you know.
Look, if you're not going to tell me about yourself, let me take a shot. You're an insecure little weirdo who lies about everything and probably cries himself to sleep every night.
Wow, you're good. Well, I guess this date's over.
Hey, get back here. Relax. It's not over.
But you said all those horrible, true things about me.
You're like an abandoned building that ought to be condemned. You know, busted windows, rats running around, a real nasty sewage situation. But maybe if the right person got a hold of it and cleaned it up, maybe they could take that disgusting building and turn it into something not so disgusting.
Are you that person?
Lucky for you, I like a project.
And am I that disgusting building?
Yeah.
That is the nicest thing that anyone has ever said about me.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bird, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Rats and stuff running around. Lucky for you, I like a project. Again, folks, this is the Grindhouse Edition. You're not imagining things. It is Saturday. We know better not to compete with the Super Bowl tomorrow. Go 49ers. Go Ravens. I'm not sure which one I'm rooting for, actually. Maybe I'll stick with the East Coast. Maybe I'll go with the Ravens. I'm not sure. Anyway, folks, the call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We have the Comic Shop now, an afternoon featuring Captain Kirk at 7 p.m. with our friend, guest of the – actually, let me repeat that. Our friend of the show and our stalwart guest, Martin Adams from the Chippewa Valley Predators. He's coming through at 7 p.m. to discuss all things Super Bowl, football, you name it. First up, let's go to a quick nerdcore groove, folks. This is J.F. Crates. J.F. Crates, Knowledge is Power. We'll be back in a few moments.
It's a philosopher's stone.
Knowledge is power.
You don't know how much you boys mean to me.
Open your mind. Search for knowledge. And do it for a purpose. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. 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 Check me out. This is Cypher 360. J.F. Crates, if you ain't heard of us. Yeah. Yow. Yeah. Cypher transmutation, calculation, making circles. Ish falling niggas study hard to make reversals. If you in my cypher, be glad to be where you stand. We the type of dudes who create new things with our bare hands. My hair's so long, I keep it in a ponytail. Hoes love to fill up on me in my auto mail. But I got a main joint at home, my girl Winry. When the struggle breaks me down, she the one that fixes me. I travel around the whole world in search of new information. The portal of truth, my brother's soul is in there waiting. So I'm innovating and I take science to bigger places. So education is the only way I get creative. Black jeans, red jacket, yes, I'm swagging. Got the best fashion and a nigga never matching. If you think that I'm a nerd and try to fight me, let it happen. I'm too fast with the hands, punchlines when I'm rapping. Real ass nigga till I'm buried and I'm in the military. When I get my body back, me and Winry getting married. Say goodbye to you fools, it's what I'm trying to do. I'll be at the top of the world, I'll be at pie over two. And I think I know a thing or two, because I am smart. I know the whole world is only equal to the sum of its parts. So the world is a big life form, it lives and breathes. I'ma tap into its soul using alpha history. I'm with a group of soldiers whose souls live eternal.
All right, enough of that. Again, that was J.F. Crates. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And it is power. Folks, welcome to the Grindhouse edition of Afternoon Radio. This is the Comic Shop, and we have all things to discuss about. Well, let's put it this way. Dow and myself really were getting into lamenting about what we're going to discuss, and it's just life being a comic book geek. Anyway, without further ado, let me get my own Enterprise crew in full effect. First up, there's the captain. Captain, it's time to beam up. Let's get to it.
Batman versus Superman, best cartoon ever.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. I forgot about that. Came out. Is that coming out this week or came out already? I think. Batman, Dark Knight Returns. I think it's called.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, let's without further ado. Again, let's get friend of the show, ultimate friend, a crew member, Daryl B.
Well, for Q-Storm out there, this week or next week, the Iron Man sentient armor trade gets released. It's called Iron Man by Joe Quesada. That's for you out there. And for fans out there, I am laying the challenge down. I've been accused often of being anti-DC. I want a fan to call up and tell me what we're about to do today and tell me the positive of the move coming up. That's what Afro Nerd was alluding to before. We're going to have fun with this.
Yeah, folks, we're going to go through our typical topics, but this time around, of course, I'm pretty sure everyone who's into this kind of thing has heard that DC Nation, really the cornerstones of DC Nation, Green Lantern the animated series, and Young Justice, both these programs have been formally canceled. We're going to ride out this second season, but ultimately they're not going to be able to renew for another season. And it's typical fare, as what Dow and myself were talking about behind the scenes, that this happens all the time. They're fan favorites, actually very accurate, very reminiscent of what we're reading in the comic books. So that's the ultimate goal, is to interpret what we read and to have it animated. And we finally saw what we wanted to see, and before you know it, it's gone. So, Dow, tell me, what are your thoughts on this? What's really going on?
Just for fans' sake, we finally got what we wanted today. We got kick fighting scenes in Green Lantern. We got Static and the Runaways. Well, they're calling them the Runaways. I don't know what you call them. In Young Justice, right? Are you supposed to get pumped up by this? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, yes, yes. And then I'm thinking, they're not picking up the show, so why should I care? Thank you, DC. Thank you, Cartoon Network. Thank you, Warner Brothers. Whoever were the idiots to make this decision, all right? You were the guys that laughed when Marvel did this to Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. And you go around and you do it to both shows. Get the degree left. I know you could. They could live on as DC Nation shorts and everything. But how do we get rid of the Green Lantern cartoon? Yeah, we're going to get another crappy live action movie. Someone explain to me what world is that possible? How are we getting rid of Young Justice to give us Teen Titans Go, these Chiba mini funny? After seeing the wide-scale dramatics of Young Justice, in what universe does this make sense? Seriously, what universe? I mean, we brainstormed ways that they could have done this without outright canceling the series, but come on, man, come on. You have to kick comic fans when they're down, DC, Cartoon Network, whoever's running this. Back to you, Alpha Nerd.
Yeah, and just as you would, as you were alluding to, Beware of the Batman is also coming through. So we have Beware of the Batman and Teen Titans Go. They're looking to put these in to replace Green Lantern, the animated series, and Young Justice. And what we were really getting into is a couple of things. One, who is the audience for Green Lantern Animated as well as Young Justice to begin with? Like, why do they make these cartoons? Why do they make them, and who do they make them for? Because you have excellent voice characterization, voice acting. One thing that really got me, was when you're looking at Young Justice, especially this episode, they really emphasize multiculturalism. And it just seems to be a bit ominous that when they start to go in that direction, all of a sudden they become disinterested. And it becomes somewhat insulting. You had a Native American character, you had a Latin American character, you had an African American character, and you had a Japanese American character, all teenagers, which honestly is very much what today is. This is very much what the New World Order, New World Order, but more importantly, what's happening in the United States. That is the demographic. So I don't understand why I refuse to deal with it, I guess, as to why these things always turn around. And I was telling Daryl that, you know, maybe there has to be some kind of internet imprint that allows for these shows to flourish. Because we come up against this wall consistently, whether it's Alpha's cancellation, whether it's Tron Uprising cancellation, whether it's Fringe's cancellation. These movies, TV shows, animated efforts, when they really hit the mark, somehow they get canceled. And I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of, you know, one season, two seasons, and better yet, you know, the time frames are very screwed up, Daryl. There's always some kind of interruption. We saw that it was supposed to be going on in the fall of 2012, then out of the blue, they show one or two episodes, then willy-nilly, we'll have you wait 5 months, and we're going to have it on. Don't worry, it's coming back in 2013, and that was the linchpin. That was the death knell right there. So, you know, I think what we're going to have to end up doing is we're going to get better organized, and they're going to have to figure out who are they marketing these products to. Because obviously Teen Titans Go are for kids. Ben 10, which I like, Ben 10 sells toys. And that's something that the late Dwayne McDuffie, who was a guest on our show a few years back, that's what he referenced when he had difficulty with Static Shock. Static Shock was a highly rated show, but they could not figure out how to make a toy line to coincide with this. Captain, any thoughts?
That's why things like Pokemon and all those type of things did so well, because of the toys and everything that was sold.
Well, you better believe this.
You know,
you go to the comic shop. If you go to the comic shop, if you did see a young person come into the comic shop, he would bypass all the comic books and ask about Pokemon cards. So that's a reality.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. In my opinion. My opinion, you need at least 3 years to really see what you got. You know, sometimes these situations need, some of them are just good from go, you know, in reality. For some of these things are just incredible from go. But even though they might be really good from go, you need about 3 years to really see the builder audience and everything else to see what you really have. They're just canceling it too soon because some of these properties are really, really that good. You're like, oh, my God, man, this stuff is really – I've been missing this. Where has this been? And then you see it, then it's gone. You start getting into it, then it's gone. This is, you even said, with alphas. Everyone's pissed about alphas, even though we're talking about, you know, the cartoons, but still all in all, it's along the same line, tangentially related. It's a serious problem. We need a council that says, listen, I got 300,000 names right here ready to go. Look, you can't cancel this yet. We need something.
Well, not just that, Captain, but you have to think about this. And Darryl can weigh in on this as well. DC makes consistently these straight-to-DVD movies, maybe three to six a year.
Yes.
They're specifically made for the nerd set, I would think. They're not made for kids. Not really. They can't be because they're direct storylines. And somehow they must be profitable. They have voice talent and the whole thing. They got to pay voice talent. They got to pay for studio time. They have to pay for animation.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they are profitable because they keep on making them. So, but what the deal is, they are zeroing in specifically on their audience. When they do a Young Justice or a Green Lantern animated, somehow they expect their core audience to know where to go when it's kiddie time. They haven't really figured out, or maybe they don't want to, but they haven't really figured out how to go about promoting this stuff and who their audience really would be. That's the ultimate thing.
And here's the thing, too. When we talk as adults now, and we talk about cartoons or animated things that we like, these guys think, oh, it's the Boomerang stuff. It's the Flintstones. It's all of these things from, like, the 60s and 70s. Oh, they love that. No, we love these things well written. We love these things passionate, showing emotion. We love these things where we know who the good guys are and the bad guys are, but we love the shades of gray. We love the complications, all right? So when you're telling me you're taking off a Young Justice where you see these kids making life and death decisions, trying to live up to their mentors, being disappointed by their mentors, trying to figure out who they are and all of that, and you tell me you're replacing it with Teen Titans Go, which is little chibi versions of the Teen Titans from the television series and stuff like that? My first response was, huh. Second response is, you just slapped me across the face. Third response is, hey, DC, whatever happened to my Titans Terror movie? Whatever happened to that? What happened to the grown-up version of Terror and Deathstroke betraying the Titans? Whatever happened to that one? It's like anything adult that we get into when it comes to DC, Batman the Animated Series, Superman at the second season when it started getting good, JLA, JLU, when these things start to get good, they want to F with the formula. Oh, you know what? Too many people that are not kids are liking this. We can't make toys for adults. So guess what? We're yanking it. What the F, DC?
Anyway, well, that's the whole thing. We're going to go to a quick musical break, but that's the whole thing, actually. Is that if anyone had the foresight to make an imprint online that allows for what we really like, that's for the core fan base, because somehow they were able to make a Mortal Kombat series for the web, they were able to make a Battlestar Galactica Chrome for the web. Now I would think Battlestar Galactica Chrome is more expensive to make for a web series, and it was a very well done.
That's like February 10th, the whole thing is on the Sci-Fi Channel. There's a movie.
Right. So you have this on the web initially, and you have plenty of web work. So why is it? I mean, that's another thing too. A lot of this stuff, the audience is being lost because they're seeing it on the internet. People just don't have the time to see these things when they want to see them. So why not have a YouTube type of imprint that allows for these for the animation to live?
Money, backing.
There it is.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that's part of it, but I think it's more to do with just foresight. I think there's a certain mentality when it comes to making this stuff, and it consistently goes to Cartoon Network, and then that's it. Because they can't say that animation for adults isn't profitable, because you have to explain animation domination on Fox, and you have to explain Adult Swim. Because who was the actor that was in Hot Tub Time Machine, and he's going to be in – I think he was also in Warm Bodies.
The Robinson, the black actor, or the guy behind Children's Hospital?
Right,
that
him.
Dude?
Yes, him.
Correct.
But he was interviewed on Geek Time yesterday. And he happens to be a geek as well. He's all into this stuff. And he was very cavalier about Children's Hospital, the success of Adult Swim's Children's Hospital, because he said, we have the core demographic on lock, 18 to 34. And he said that, in other words, they are able – he explains that he's so successful because they zeroed in on his
Rob Corddry.
Right, Rob Corddry, exactly. Rob Corddry had said that they're in a lovely position because their fan base is there. They have the sweet spot fan base, and they're not going anywhere. That is what is the problem with a lot of this stuff, is they don't know how and when and where and to whom they're marketing stuff to. Because they're trying to get Young Justice and Green Lantern animated for the little kids. And I think maybe the little kids, maybe the subject matter or something is over their heads. They're just, I don't know what's going on. But I know Ben 10 is like in its sixth incarnation. It's not going anywhere. It's like, and I like Ben 10, but Ben 10 is able to sell toys, video games, and plus it probably has a pretty decent viewership. What's happening with Young Justice and with Green Lantern, it just does not translate that way. And one year, you're lucky, and it's gone.
And that's the funny thing, too. Remember, I'm the dude that hated on both of these shows when they first came out. I hated on them. But you and the captain told me, yo, keep on looking. And the storylines gripped me. And I'm into it. It gripped me in. Okay, I'm in now. And now we're leaving. Huh? You know what this reminds me of? And I think the captain will remember the scene. There's a scene in Scary Movie 2 where they're trying to divide into search parties to go, and the girl with the weigh-ins always goes like, wait. How come every time we break into this, we break down and you all are together and we all are together? Can't we mix this a little? Can't we do something with this? And then the dude looks at him straight and like, okay, all right, this is how we'll do it. We'll go this way, you guys go that way. And they take off. And her and the Wayans are looking at each other like, oh, we're all going to die. Well, that's what it is. DC, every time these shows get a big buzz and we're liking them tremendously, they're like, we don't care what you guys think. This is what's coming out now. Your stuff is done.
One quick thing. Let me go to Kavina Man in our chat room. He says, today's cartoons are about selling cards and toys, i.e. Pokemon, Beyblades, and Yu-Gi-Oh. Then he says, it's not about quality entertainment. It's just making bank. There should be an animated channel for adult nerds. That would be a good channel. JLA and EMH, Earth's Mightiest Hero, were better for adult nerds and not children. A lot of Adult Swim is for the dumb and dumber type people. I like some of Adult Swim programming. That's what I think. Maybe if they had tweaked Green Lantern Animated and also Young Justice to be a little bit more edgy. Because for whatever, that's what I think would could have happened. Since Adult Swim seems to work and seems to zero in on who would look at this stuff, it did. Because that's the problem. Before we go to the break, the problem is, it's a little bit mature, and the storyline and the pacing and the romance in some of this stuff is a little bit more mature than the little kids can really probably understand.
So that's why you have young adults kind of sort of getting into it. But if they made it just a bit more edgier, more like the comic books, they might as well throw this stuff on Adult Swim. Well, let's hash that after the break. Why not have these programs on Adult Swim where I suspect they might live a little longer? Anyway, let's go to a quick groove. This is New, The Throne, by the great Adam Warrock, an entire EP devoted to the X-Men. So this is Mutants in America. We'll be back in a few moments by the great Adam Warrock.
Little child grown, little mind blown. She put a hole in the wall second she woke from sleeping. And her parents watched, and they thought about she need religion or something. There wasn't nothing keeping another way to separate her from the kids today. She felt ugly inside, and so she made her way to Jean Grey School for higher learning, and stepped inside a mansion with the fire inside burning. Taught her how to focus her energy. They taught her humans were not the enemy, just scared the same as her. Gave her a name, gave her a purpose in this world, and every time she saved a person, know they're saving her. And so the yellow and blue, maybe the black and the gold, and after all she's been through, maybe look back when you're old. Maybe a nation together that never did as they're told, and it's starting with saving a little girl all alone. Of anger and the kind of rage that kept him constantly in trouble till he find his way. Maybe his eyes would shoot rays, maybe his skin was metal, maybe he's psychic or telekinetic, man, whatever. And so they called him Muti, a freak, even though his parents told him beauty was skin deep. But what's beneath, you know, the X gene, it made him different. Yo, and Professor X would have told him you should never listen. People say that your powers are mistake. He believed that those flaws were what made you great. And look how many of us now stand tall and face the greatest challenges here on the United States. And I believe that you and me, we're not so different, cause our genes are just the way we look to people who don't see something beneath. I see it too, how can I convince you? That's my mutant power, I see the potential in you.
All right, folks, once again, that was Adam Warrock, Mutants in America. Getting back into the fold, talking about this cancellation with Young Justice and Green Lantern animated series, I wanted to open up, and then we're going to move along, to Daryl, actually. Daryl, what would stop it from being on Adult Swim if they made them a bit more, you know, in order for it to be Adult Swim, it has to be a little bit more, you know, maybe the intimacy part with, because these are young teenagers now, they were going to keep it really real. The romantic part of it, you know, maybe some drug stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that would have been more apropos for a Young Justice, actually. Actually would have made it better if you wanted. They should have went full throttle and said, okay, let's make this, you know, whatever. Green Lantern is a known womanizer. There's a whole bunch of things going on they could have done to push the button and then let it live on Adult Swim. What are your thoughts on that? Maybe that's what we're going to have to see.
I'm sorry. That would never have happened. Think about it. This is the company. Hey, yeah, we'll team up with Mortal Kombat. All right, we'll put our heroes in a Mortal Kombat-type fighting game. But, you know, they can't kill. Wait. The whole thing about Mortal Kombat is Mortal Kombat. You fight to the death. It's a tournament of death. How could you put DC's icons in that and not have them kill? Well, you want the use of our icons? Our heroes won't be able to kill. All right, we'll use them. That's the problem. DC wants to give us these mature heroes and stuff like that, and they're afraid to go too far. They're afraid to push the envelope. All right? They'll give us starts of mature storylines, similar like Arsenal and Speedy, the clone, the implications. One has a baby with Cheshire, you know? All of that's going on, all of that's alluded to, but it's not really built upon, all right? Yes, they're afraid to go there. You know, Miss Martian goes in and purposely shuts down the mind of someone she perceived as a traitor who's really your friend, all right? Nightwing conceals this information from the rest of the squad. All right, but when it got revealed a couple of episodes ago, you saw how the squad reacted. I mean, you just took out a teammate who was undercover. You know, that stuff like that, where you could farm, where you could dig, where you could build upon. Right? We have so many building blocks here for a big future thing. And we're going to drop it all. Hell, Mal Duncan in the Guardian armor. I know that a lot of people on TV are not realizing it, but that was akin to Bucky putting on the Captain America costume. If that happened in a comic book, people would be outraged. How dare you have this character put on the Guardian armor? Oh my God, what is DC doing? Is this PC? You know, but again, it's stuff that's there that they could put on. But you know what? Something holds Warner Brothers and DC back from telling a true adult cartoon type tale that's not Batman. All the people that picked up Dark Knight Returns too, you saw how far they went. But if it isn't Batman, they are afraid to go there because our images are iconic. We can't show them being straight up. Think about it. Even in the show, you didn't even see them acting bad except to attack the kids when it was time to try to reverse the mind control. We, to this day, still don't know what the Justice League did. You know?
But let's move on to another thing. Just in closing, I think that, you know, maybe with their asses consistently being kicked by Marvel, they may have to adapt or die. That's all I'm putting out there. They're only going to take so many losses to Marvel, so maybe we might see some changes incrementally, but based on what Marvel is doing.
That's the one thing they did right, though. They've always done animation better than Marvel. There was no need to mess up the formula, yet they did.
Well, listen, at some point we should be used to this by now. Used to this abuse. All right, quickly, speaking of an adult-oriented cartoon, The Boondocks, while we're waiting for season four, I think it is season four, correct?
Season four.
Which seems to take Magruder every, like, 3 years. Like, what, 2 to 3 years did we get per season? We get a season? Anyway, now we see that there's a Kickstarter campaign, ladies and gentlemen, for an Uncle Ruckus film. Now, for those who are familiar with The Boondocks, obviously it's suburban kids that are, I believe, from Chicago, inner-city kids that end up moving with their grandfather to the suburbs. And Huey, which I guess is supposed to be an interpretation of Huey Newton, is more of a introspective, political, precocious kid. Riley is the quote-unquote gangster archetype, but not really, but he's a wannabe. He's a wankster. And the grandfather is just a comedian, basically. So it's excellent fare. I had issues with the N-word being spouted off. That's something that was very controversial with Magruder inputting that into the cartoon. But again, it's an adult. That's Adult Swim also, isn't it? It's definitely Adult Swim.
Yeah.
So Boondocks works. And actually, Magruder fights, I think. It seems like Magruder fights any type of merchandising. Because now that could be – that's what. Here we go again. You have a cartoon that is adult that would definitely rake it in with merchandising. And the character – I mean, the creator seems to have issues with it or not knowing what to do. Whatever. Matter of fact, I think even one of the actors – who's the actress that does both voices?
Regina King.
And Regina
King. We saw her in her Big Bang Theory guest shot a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, she was on there. And actually, I think her people had reached out to us, and I was lazy about it. But I'm going to try to get her back. But Regina King, excellent actress. We know her from 227 as a girl. Now she's an adult actress in full swing. So anyway, it looks like Mr. Magruder is working hard to get $200,000 up within the next 30 days or such to have an Uncle Ruckus film. What are your thoughts about this, Daryl? I mean, I'm kind of excited about it, but I'm also disappointed.
Hey, you know what? I look at an Uncle Ruckus film, and I said this would be the perfect vehicle for David Alan Greer like 15 years ago, you know, because if anybody ever saw Amazon Women on the Moon, he probably played the whitest black man ever on that, right? With a Liberace imitation and everything. With the Uncle Ruckus thing, it would certainly shake a lot of people's sensibilities. I mean, if Spike Lee got mad about Quentin Tarantino's Django, Lord knows what Spike would think about McRuder's Uncle Ruckus. I mean, you know, that would be pushing a lot of things. I could see a lot of people being mad. You know, a lot of people being mad. But you know what? Magruder likes that. Magruder likes stirring the pot. Magruder likes you getting angry to look at the material again and force you to look at yourself. You know, that's one thing he does, all right? Now, what I wanted over a fourth season? Oh, heck no. I want the fourth season. But if this is a way to get his creative juices flowing again so we get that fourth season sooner than later, you know what? I'm all for it. Cap? Uh-oh.
Yeah, here's my question. You know, is it possible he went with calling it just directly Uncle Ruckus because maybe due to some type of, you know, contractual situation or whatever he has inked down, because you could still turn around and say, okay, it's an Uncle Ruckus movie, and you still have all these other characters in there, and it's still the same situation going on, but you call it Uncle Ruckus. It's no longer called Boondocks. You know, kind of like what Prince did when he went with his name and he made it into a symbol. We still know it's Prince, but he wasn't calling himself Prince. This is something I'm throwing out there. You know, because Uncle Ruckus is very controversial within itself. And I think Boondocks works from my perspective because you do have some form of balance, meaning which you have different type of black individuals within there. Now, my question is this totally going to be about Uncle Ruckus and solely, you know, everything is on him and you do not have the other individuals in there? That's my question.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, I don't think that's the case with this because Magruder himself had said, actually he says this in an interview section at the Kickstarter website. If folks want to check this out, just simply go to Kickstarter and search for the Uncle Ruckus film. But he says in an interview or a question and answer part of the website that he believes trying to find young actors to portray Riley and Huey is damn near impossible. And that I can't believe. He seems to be limited in his reasoning on that. There are plenty of smart alecky black kids. Almost too many. I grew up with them.
I grew up with Huey and Riley. There's no way. So, I mean, I hate to say this, but listen, the Brits, not that you would necessarily have to go to Britain to get these black actors, but I've seen child actors in Britain, and they throw down, I mean, with, Daryl, you know Spy, right? The
yep.
Actor, I think Spy. Matter of fact, I think Rob Corddry is doing an American version of Spy for ABC. But the child actor that's in Spy is phenomenal. You know, the way he emotes, you know, he plays this prodigious youth. And every time I come around and look at British television and they have a young actor on there, he is incredible. So you mean to tell me there's no American actor or actors that can pull off a Huey and Riley role? Come on. We got plenty of these smart alecky kids that are hungry, that have overbearing managers slash parents.
The key thing is black young. You know, Disney keeps on mining the farm. You know, Disney, Miley's too old. Okay, do we have a younger Swift? Okay, is there a younger Kardashian? Disney keeps on, like, churning around. But when it comes to young black, yeah, we got a problem.
Listen, they had Keenan and Kel years ago were those type of actors. You mean to tell me they don't have actors on that level now? Come on now, it's not Shakespeare.
Hey, the only young black actors of note right now are related to Jada and Will. But outside of that, name me another young black actor under like 14 years old of note.
Well, that's the whole thing. They're not of note. I mean, you have to do a casting call. You have to search out. But, you know, this is not rocket science. I'm sorry, Aaron, it's not. But like what Catherine was talking about, I'm a little uncomfortable with a straight Uncle Ruckus movie, and it does seem like it's dovetailing off of the success of Django. You have Django, you have Steven in Django, and I've also seen this written up in the internet, with a picture of Steven and a picture of Uncle Ruckus. So obviously there's some kind of connection, and perhaps Django is opening up the door with certain things, but this is the limit. This is the limit of our imagination. The limit is I mentioned this quite a few times that I thought that the level of comedic expertise in Boondocks. I said a long time ago, wow, you know, it's so good, especially since Tyler Perry's comedy doesn't really fit me. You know, the comedy or the level of comedy from the late 60s, the early 70s, even 80s, as far as black comedy, there's no comparison from what was going on years ago to what we're seeing now. Everything is very, very cookie cutter and formulaic. So I thought that the Boondocks really is something that's special and highly just plain old funny. And timely. You know, a lot of the comedy, you know, this is almost an Afro Nerd Radio discussion, but a lot of the comedy that we grew up on, like the Richard Pryor show, or even Chappelle's show, was harkening back to what we grew up on, like that was really funny and really pop culturally significant. You know, certain idioms that you still reference. You know, something's good when people start referencing something. No one's referencing Tyler Perry. Not really. Not his TV imprint anyway. So the idea of there being some kind of live-action version of the Boondocks just makes sense. But for Uncle Ruckus to work, the reason why he's tolerated on the show is because you have a radical Huey on there. You have Tom, who is more of a straight, middle-class black person. So you have all these different things going on. It balances it. But if you just have Uncle Ruckus for self, I don't know.
That's why Captain's idea makes sense. You're using Uncle Ruckus, but the focus is everybody's going to be outraged by him, and it may be a way to sneak the rest of the characters on into Movieville just underneath the radar of everybody. You know, that's where the captain's right. You could use that, like him as the main protagonist, but then peripherally you get everybody in involved all around. Think of the last episode of Boondocks, right? That started out like a 24 ripoff, and then it became a Huey Uncle Ruckus adventure show. Never know.
Maybe.
Yeah, but on his campaign website, he says you can't do a Huey and Riley because we can't get actors for them.
Hey.
He already debunks that on the very page that he's getting money, seeking money for Uncle Ruckus.
And he's always told us the straight up truth, right?
Oh, I think it's wishful thinking. I think he doesn't believe it's gonna. I don't know. Listen, let's go to a quick transition. You know, we'll see what happens when it comes out. But I think it might be a straight to DVD deal as well. And then he talked about the expense of, like he said, it would be a $20 million he would need to do a Boondocks movie, whereas it would be a lot cheaper to do an Uncle Ruckus film. So there's other things that's going on in the background as to why he's doing it this way. Ultimately, it's always economics. It's always economics, isn't it? You know? All right, gentlemen, let's go to a quick transition. Actually, I want to pick up on something that we dropped last week. There was a story, I guess, since this new success with Django, Quentin Tarantino's Django. You know, once you talk about this film, then you start referencing his previous work. So they were talking about Pulp Fiction, which really put him on the map, on a commercial scale. And it was mentioned, and I think he spoke about it briefly, that after Pulp Fiction, there was consideration of doing a Luke Cage film. Now, mind you, this is the early to mid-90s. A Luke Cage film with Lawrence Fishburne as the titular character. I have to admit that was kind of intriguing. I don't know how – well, you know what? Tarantino's of such a level that it probably would have been good, but it would have, you know, things happen for a reason. Now we're in full swing with comic book properties on film. In 94, it probably would have been lukewarm, maybe. I don't know what to think about that. Let's go to the captain on this. Captain, what are your thoughts about this 20-year-old proposal now? I mean, now obviously everyone's too old to do this thing, but at the time, I could see Larry Fishburne maybe doing, you know, he's a phenomenal actor. I don't know. That might be something that's interesting. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm kind of iffy on it because timing is very important when it comes to these things. Quentin Tarantino is, as we already know, an exceptional director. He's a very good writer also. He gets it. For most part, but it might have been a good work, very good work, but it might have just slipped underneath the radar. Might not have been as impactful because due to the timing. I don't know. I'm just taking a stab at it. You know, I think it would have been very good. You know, but I think timing is everything. We're in that time zone now where come with the superhero movies now, and everyone is just drawn to it. And everyone is going to talk about it. Everyone is going to tweet about it. Everyone's going to blow it up all over the internet. There are going to be shows such as this talking about it. You see, so it's timing. And I just don't feel at that given time, you know, that would have happened. You know, it just went underneath the radar. Oh, there's a film out there, you know, and, you know, it was good, and, you know, you need to check it out. Might have been one of those type of things, you know? Or maybe we could have got another Blade. Who knows? A Blade 2 type situation. Who knows? Back over to you, Sir Aphrodite.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit less critical of the idea, even for that time period, because Tarantino is an auteur, I think, at this point. And a lot of his earlier work was just of a certain quality. He was riding high This would have, mind you, this would have happened after Pulp Fiction. You know, he had Jackie Brown. He brought back, you know, a lot of these type of movies back into prominence. And we have to remember that Luke Cage, again for our audience, Luke Cage is a Marvel comic property. He was not the first black hero, but he was, he came out around, I guess, 71, 72 is when he came out. And for that time period, he was definitely inspired by what was going on, blaxploitation. You know, Sweet Christmas was one of his catchphrases. So now, obviously, in today's world, Luke Cage is still around, but his character has changed. He's matured. He's not an exploitative character anymore. But for that time, he was certainly exploitative. He was certainly in the vein of Superfly and Shaft and that kind of thing. He was hero for hire, so he was one of the first heroes that didn't become a hero because of being magnanimous. He did it because he was trying to make a buck. He had a morality, but he also was quote unquote from the streets, and as a person from the streets, you got to get paid. So we know what influences, what gets Tarantino's juices flowing. I'm inclined to think that this movie probably would have done quite well. I just think that maybe you're right that it might have gotten lost as in the sense of where we are today. But I think the quality of it would have been very good. Daryl, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's the Hollywood bouncers by the door. Tarantino comes up, this is my project, Power Man Luke Cage with Lawrence Fishburne. Okay, we'll get to you. You could stand over there in the corner with Sam Raimi's Wonder Woman project, with Nick Cage's Superman project, you know. You could stand right over there with Burton's fourth Batman film. You could stand right over there and been forgotten about. Essentially, that's the way I look at it. It would have been forgotten about. Because, our quota is won. We already got Wesley Snipes' Blade inside. We can't allow no more. That's the way I look at it. Even with Tarantino's name attached, it would have been like that. Now, all right, big-time white director wants to do it. It can't be done. George Lucas with Red Tail, bam. Tarantino de Django, bam. Like the captain said, it's all a matter of timing. Now if he proposed it, of course it wouldn't be Lawrence Fishburne, but now if he proposed it, I think it gets greenlit. No matter what Marvel may think, it gets greenlit. Timing is everything.
Yeah, well, that's why I think. I think the quality of work would have been good. I think that you're right about one thing. His star power has eclipsed even what he did in Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction really put him on the map. But all of his work, I mean, now he's in the stratosphere now. So and he has established a track record. He's established a reputation, and I think the studio now would allow. I mean, heck, how would you even explain Django? I mean, even the fact that they allowed a Django in today's market is pretty phenomenal. So the fact that Django has done as well as it has done and continues to do, now the world is his oyster. So, you know, things happen for a reason. Maybe now we will get a hero for hire film. I think that ultimately we're going to see some of this stuff. Probably not when we want to see it, but I think obviously the comic book world, it's the top of the pops right now. So I think it's interesting. Now also, because we got about 6 minutes remaining before we go next door for Mr. Adams for the afternoon featuring Captain Kirk hour. Daryl, you were very excited about this Robotech film, Robotech animated film, animated series from many years ago, which I believe was a mix-mash of other cartoons. So it was a mix-mash of other cartoons. They called it Robotech, and now it has a director. Now, I know of Robotech. I knew when it was out. It didn't grab me at the time, but I remember it was very popular. What makes Robotech so different than Transformers, and how will this – you know, won't people be turned off with this film coming up now? Will they be able to distinguish this?
Well, I look at it this way. When I was growing up, right, everybody was into the American animation, all the stiffness and stuff. I grew up on Battle of the Planets, a.k.a. Gatchaman. I grew up on Astro Boy. I grew up on Robotech. I grew up with those cartoons first. Then came back to the American cartoons. So to me, you know, this hits right home. I'm feeling it. Essentially, think about this. It's Transformers. If each Transformer had a human pilot, that's what the Robotech jets are. You're piloting these, trying to fend off an alien invasion. That's essentially what it is. And it gets into mystical stuff later on. It gets into the... But essentially, to boil it down, it's human pilots in jets that can transform into robots or various sort of modes. How don't I want this on the big screen? I'm not talking no Power Ranger type, oh, we're destroying the town and stupid melodrama and stuff like this. The Japanese created this. The only thing about Robotech that was annoying was the same stupid song that the girls sang over and over again that had an effect on the aliens. But outside of that, the action scenes, hey, While Americans were fake punching, the Japanese were killing folks. They weren't afraid to show humans getting eradicated in explosions. Guys bleeding out in pilot chairs. You know, they showed all of that.
All right, but because we have time, you know, time constraints. Just quickly, we got about 3 minutes remaining, folks. One other thing, though. We saw what happened with Battleship. That was one of the first things that the audience said, the critics were like, well, this is like a poor man's Transformers, and it seemed to not work out because of that. I'm just fearful of this.
Hey, no, Michael Bay is not attached to Robotech. That's why I'm loving this. He is not attached to Robotech. Give somebody else a shot.
Hopefully Pacific Rim, Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim with Idris Elba, hopefully that does well, too. But when you look at this over-the-top 100-foot robot thing, Transformers pretty much sealed the deal on that. It makes it seem as if no one else can do a robot film almost. Oh,
well,
no, it seems that way. I hope that they're able to discern, that the audience is able to discern between this Robotech, between Pacific Rim, from Transformers. That's all I'm saying.
But you say that, but Real Steel did very well at the box office, right?
Yeah, that's true too. But that's Hugh Jackman was on top of that also.
Yeah.
And it's also people looked at that. People imprinted Rock 'Em Sock 'Em Robots on that. They were able to go somewhere else with it. It wasn't quite Transformers. But these are literally huge robots walking around cities. That's Transformers. Anyway, listen, we got to move. Daryl, as always, we get into these passionate conversations. You're the best, dude.
Hey,
you know, this is what you do.
To Mr. Lovin' Walker, great job on number 2 and number 13. I want number 3 in my hands now. Next month, folks, this is going to be great.
And quickly, I want to shout out, I meant to talk about this at the top of the show, Shadow and Act. Folks, go to shadowandact.com. Sergio Mims, who was one of the forces behind Shadow and Act, sent me an email on a piece he wrote about this cartoon called Coonskin by Ralph Bakshi. Ralph Bakshi, who I'm going to try to get on the show because he's an interesting character. He was behind, you know, the Lord of the Rings cartoon, American Pop, Wizards, Fritz the Cat was probably his most famous cartoon, adult cartoon. So Coonskin, which was highly controversial with Philip Michael Thomas, for you Miami Vice fans, with the late singer Barry White, late Scatman Crothers, on DVD. He's discussing it as Shadow and Axe, so we may have to revisit it next Sunday, folks. Anyway, we're going next door. Daryl, see you next week. Appreciate
it. Enjoy the game, folks.
Spock with a beard?
I think not. My daddy told me we got to turn our backs on this kind, Wilkie. Close our ranks to the chitlins, the collard greens, the cornbread style. We are men. Soldiers. And I don't intend for our race to be cheated out of its place of honor and respect in this war because of fools like CJ. You watch everything he does. Everything.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Grindhouse second half. The second half, pretty much like a football game, which ironically we will talk about. We'll be talking about the upcoming Super Bowl, tomorrow's Super Bowl, with friend of the show and the coach of the Chippewa Valley Predators, Martin Adams. Before we get into it, and also, you know what, folks, without being remiss, we're going to do an entire Blue Area show, long time coming, talking about all things positive when it comes to folks of color. It's a necessity. Not that we don't do this intermittently anyway. I think our show is positive anyway. But to really emphasize some of the positive goings-ons in the black community. So without further ado, let's go to a quick groove. This is a mashup between Blondie, Deborah Harry's Blondie, and The Doors. We'll be back in a few moments. And you know what we do. Let's groove. That's right, folks. Even an MP3 can skip. Sorry about that. That's not how we do things. I'm going to have to get another record, obviously. Anyway, that was a special mashup with the legendary Doors and equally legendary Deborah Harry's Blondie. Welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, folks. We're doing a Saturday pre-Super Bowl show. We know best not to try to compete with the Super Bowl. Everyone and their grandmother and grandparents and uncles and aunties are going to be looking at the 49ers and the Ravens. So we're going to have, expecting Martin Adams, friend of the show, to discuss his thoughts on the game, his expectations. I'm not the greatest sports geek, folks, as you know, but I'm always able to pull out some political stuff going on. There's some stuff going on. So attached to this. So I'm going to hit it from that angle. Anyway, can't do the show without my partner in White Collar Crime. So, Captain, the game is afoot. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Well, there will always be controversy in a game of this magnitude. There will always be controversy when there's a media frenzy such that we have for the Super Bowl. Need I say more, Sir Afro-Nerd? Need I say more?
Well, listen, you know, football in general is becoming highly controversial. I'm still on this Mad Tie Tail thing, man. It's gotten even more bizarre than we last spoke. Even more bizarre. I don't know what to believe. Didn't we talk about this, that we're all stuck in the Matrix? I'm desperately trying to remove the cable from the back of my neck, even as we speak, Captain. I'm trying to remove the cable from the back of my damn neck.
Oh,
now,
man.
Dr. Phil, everything is, we're living a complete reality show existence. Everything is not what it appears to be. I don't know what it is. Dr. Phil interviews this young man that posed as a woman with Manti, and yeah, I think we might have pulled this out last week. I think we might have referenced it because it doesn't make any sense. Dr. Phil said, "Well, do you love this guy? I mean, what's going on?" And he said, "Yeah, I think I do." I said, "What? What part of the game is that?" Now I see our friend is here. I dare not ask him this thing. I'm not even going to entertain any discussions on Manti Te'o with this gentleman. Okay, because I respect him too much to talk about this foolishness. It's crazy. It's crazy, Captain. It's crazy. Anyway, I'm trying to get my
that was funny.
You know.
That was a good one.
No, but it's reality. Or is it? I'm so used to thinking things are real. Maybe it's not. Anyway, I think we have come. Mr. Adams.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome once again to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. What's up?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure.
Thanks
As I
for
said
having
behind
me.
The scenes, I respect you, sir. I'm not going to talk about Manti. We're going to talk about all
we
things.
We can if you want to. We can if you want to.
What are you...
We can go there because I got beef with a few things. It's whatever. You're the host. I'm following you guys'
right, well,
lead, so let me know.
We're gonna stay close to the cuff with the 49ers and the Ravens. All right, but I see you want to talk about this a little. How do you weigh in? What is this going on? What is this? Men don't like shapely women and buttocks anymore. Is that it?
Hey, I'm not going to get into preference. If that's
know,
what
I'm
people like, that's
I'm
what they like. That's on them. A problem with that whole situation, I watched on the Dr. Phil show yesterday. You know, it's, according to him, and he's a good source. He's a reliable source because he's got all type of teams that find experts on voices and all of that stuff. I don't know if you guys went over this already. You know, I didn't listen to the first part of the show, but I guess apparently the dude's voice was a match that he was talking to Matt Mateo or whatever his name is. And how sad is that, that you would play a dude like that? I mean, how unnecessary, you know, to go over this dude's psyche and, well, you know, he really had a dreadful past and this, that, and the other. That's fine. You know, people have history, things happen in life, but to victimize somebody in that nature, regardless of what stage this gentleman is on, this guy did not deserve that one bit, man. I feel really bad for that guy, man. It's just,
I
don't know if you guys watch the show Catfish. I'm getting tired of people that's getting on the internet and playing as if they're, you know, somebody else. You know, some people can say, well, that's their fault. They shouldn't be gullible. I respectfully disagree to that. You know, that threat is out there. But you know what? If you're listening right now and you're that type of person, I'm going to respectfully say to you, get a life and stop victimizing other people. It's a cowardice act. You know, if you got issues, get it handled. But stop victimizing people, man. I can't honor that.
Well, I tell you something, Martin. I hope what you say is what it is, in a sense that, because we didn't know which way this was going. There was talk that maybe this whole thing was set up because it looked as if Mr. Tao was on track for the Heisman. Now it really does look like this guy was a victim, and I hope that this fool that pretended to be a woman because of his confusion, you know, like I said, we're going to respect people's choices or whatever. You know, we're not going to do that. We're going to respect their choices, but you don't drag somebody else with your confusion. He was on track. I mean, what happens to his football career now that people think that he's a nut? They think Manti is a nut. Does this affect his career?
I think this will pass, honestly, in my opinion. And when this first came out, everybody thought Matt Mateo was, you know, he was lying, you know. Including his school. Did you hear the athletic director crying at the podium? How ridiculous is that? You know, saying that, a guy that we love so much, you basically can't trust his word and all of that kind of stuff, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I was a bit skeptical myself. But, you know, the truth is what it is, and it's just a very unfortunate event. But at the end of the day, long story short, because I know you guys got limited time, the draft is coming up. He'll be the brunt of people's jokes on Saturday Night Live, I'm sure, things of that nature. But if he could play football and if he does good things at the draft day, at the NFL testing day, and he plays good football, this will be a thing of the past, I think, you know. It's up to him how he deals with it. He's probably going to need some counseling, obviously. Anybody would, you know. I wish for him the best because he's a good football player, good athlete. It'll be a true test of his character to see how he deals with this.
Yeah, I agree. I hope he's able to maintain a career.
From a money perspective, if you own a team and, you know, inside linebacker is a need and this dude can play in your opinion, would that be one of the things, topics that you talk about? You know, you're going to find out how he deals with adversity. But at the end of the day, it's a business. He's still going to make some money playing that game. Let's face it.
I hope so. Listen, let's move along out of this
sure.
weirdness and go into Ray Lewis and the gang. What are your thoughts
sure.
on the Ravens v. the 49ers? How do you think this is going to play out?
I really think this – I'm hoping it's not one of those games that it's a laugh for turning off at halftime where it's a landslide. I'm really hoping for that. My gut is telling me this is going to be a battle. This is going to be a close game. the biggest thing is that, you know, you got a youthful team that's really fast, and they're doing a lot of modern things, and they're playing real well right now, and they're peaking. But you got this experienced team that, in my opinion, you know, they're not going to, in my opinion, they're saying to themselves right now, there's no way that we're going to get this far and take a dive right now. You got Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. You know, these are guys that are the cornerstones of their defense. And I really think the Ravens will edge this out. It'll be one mistake more that the San Francisco 49ers make, one more than Ravens do. I think they'll win that game tomorrow night.
One quick thing. I want to play a clip. Bear with me for a moment, because there's another historical element to this game that I think bears note. We have the Harbaugh brothers, two coaches that are brothers. That makes this interesting as well. So I want to play this ABC News clip that goes into the what they're trying to name it now, the Bro Bowl, the Harbaugh. You know, there's a whole bunch of names they're calling it because of the brothers battling each other. So let's play this clip, and we'll get right back to Mr. Adams. Hold on.
Now what's being called the Bro Bowl. It's the San Francisco 49ers versus the Baltimore Ravens for the Super Bowl, and the two brothers who coach the teams are now going head-to-head. We want to give a big welcome to ABC's Darren Revelle, who's joining us here on GMA for the first time. Darren, good morning.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. All right, so we have the Bro Bowl here. The 49ers had to travel to Georgia and the Ravens to Massachusetts and play in front of a hostile opposing crowd yesterday. But in the end, they both prevailed and turned the Super Bowl into a family affair.
They're calling it the Super Bowl, or maybe the Harbowl.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Either way, the 47th annual NFL title game will pit the two Harbaugh brothers, Jim and John, against each other. After John's Baltimore Ravens crushed the New England Patriots late Sunday.
Absolute second-half dominance by Baltimore.
Just hours after Jim's San Francisco 49ers beat the Atlanta Falcons.
The 49ers are going to the Super Bowl.
Brothers have never been head coaches of opposing teams in the big game.
I'd like to think when you look at those two teams, you're looking at mirror images of two football teams. I'd like to think that. And it's going to be a great football game, and he's a great football coach.
It's no surprise. Both men were born to be here. Their father, Jack Harbaugh, coached high school and college for more than 40 years.
I think one about our families that we're always passionate about what we do.
Older brother John started his NFL coaching career with the Ravens in 2008, while Jim played quarterback at the University of Michigan and starred in the NFL for 15 years before becoming head coach of the 49ers last season.
It's going to be unique to see which brother has the experience. Who really won all those matchups when they're in their room when they're younger? I think that's going to show up on Super Bowl Sunday.
It'll be tough for the brothers to face off in 2 weeks for the title, but it will be harder on their parents to watch. Their only consolation, no matter what, one of their sons will win it all.
Now, there are a lot of names out there for this game. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, and Super Bowl among them. We took it to Twitter with more than 430 votes. You told us Super Bowl was your favorite.
Amy. But who can tell them apart? They look like identical
15
twins.
15 months apart, they look exactly like. And the dad, he looks like them too.
All right, now I have something to watch other than the commercials on Super Bowl. All right, Darren, thank you.
Okay.
All right, we're back. Catherine, I'm sure you have some questions for Martin. What's the deal?
Okay, Mr. Martin T. Adams. Now, when you respond, you answer, I want you to talk in a manner as if you were talking to an 8-year-old. In other words, as if we're football neophytes. You understand? Even though you know I know the jargon, but that doesn't necessarily mean everyone else knows the jargon. Now, of course,
absolutely,
for the people that are not in the know, the San Francisco 49ers had a quarterback controversy. There's Alex Smith, and of course, Mr. Colin, the other quarterback. Alex Smith incurred a concussion on November 11th. Then he was sat down. And then Colin came in. And the reports were that this was just supposed to be a temporary position. And people in the media was saying that he is an option quarterback. He's not a drop-back passer. The passer for Baltimore Ravens, the quarterback, he's a drop-back passer. What I would like you to do for the audience, Mr. Adams, compare the two and tell me who do you think is the better quarterback at this given juncture of time and which team has the advantage. Break it down in layman's terms, please.
All right. Well, in layman's terms, I would have to say, to keep it as in layman's terms as possible, you know, where's what they're doing right now? The hotter quarterback is obviously Colin Kaepernick. The difference is, you know, Kaepernick brings something more to the table than Alex Smith does. What does he bring? He has a rocket for an arm, okay? And he also brings the run threat, meaning which he can run the ball at any given time. And that makes him way more, he's just better. He makes things happen on the field. He brings energy to his entire offense. You can tell his whole entire offense is played at a different speed level right now. That's the nature of this game. You know, the NFL stands for not for long. Alex Smith will get another job, but right now this gentleman's got the hot handle, and that's the difference. I mean, the kid can run, and the kid also can throw. He brings both elements to the game. He's good at both.
So, in other words, you're saying that San Francisco has the advantage at the quarterback.
But I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You wanted me to compare the two quarterbacks in their camp, and I would say Kaepernick right now is the better quarterback. I would say, you know, because Kaepernick is he has multi dimensions. Alex Smith has one way of doing things. Kaepernick's got the hot handle. He's just doing some special things right now, man. Flacco's comparing the two quarterbacks. You know, they're both great quarterbacks. Honestly, Flacco is at a point right now where he is peaking, okay? But they're two different style quarterbacks that, you know, fit their systems well, is the best way to put it.
Okay.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead. Kevin.
One more football-related question. Now, people always say in sports, defense wins championships. Now, we know the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, they have a great defense with Ray Lewis as the aging but still good middle linebacker. Could you just break down that defense again in layman's terms? And do you think because of their defense, will that somehow create an advantage for them over San Francisco?
Well, the one slight advantage that I see the Ravens have defensively is their experience. They're a pretty fast group regardless of their age. Obviously, Ray Lewis, he has slowed down, but he's a veteran that gets the job done at this point. It's funny how people, you know, talk about his age, but if you look at his numbers, there's no decline at all. He's the leading tackler on his team, and he's still doing great things. Okay, and with age comes wisdom. So he's going to be getting places faster than he was when he was faster because he knows, well, I better cheat up over to this side because I know they're going to run there. San Francisco will know that Ray knows where the plays are going, which makes it difficult for them. The Ravens run primarily a cover two defense, which means their two defensive backs will stay deep into the field. They have responsibility for halves of the field, okay, and they leave more people underneath protecting from the run, which they have to do with Frank Gore. Now, a lot of people talk about, you know, the zone read option offense that San Francisco has installed. What makes it really dangerous is Frank Gore. It's really he's the one that sets the tone of that offense. That offense was invented by Kaepernick's his college coach, and it was more so because he wanted his running backs to run downhill, not necessarily from a shotgun standpoint, but the pistol, which is 4.5 yards from the center. but he wanted to be able to utilize Kaepernick in an innovative way. But I think getting back to the Ravens, I think they have a slight advantage because they're very experienced. They're going to know. They're going to know San Francisco's tendencies. They will know when Kaepernick is ready to scratch his left ear when it's about to itch, because you're talking about a team that has 2 weeks off. That as experienced as they are, so I can guarantee they will use the hyperbaric chamber and Ray Lewis is watching more film than anybody on the earth. So with that being said, I give them that slight advantage because of their wisdom. They're going to get to the ball, and it's going to be a fun game to see.
I tell you something, Martin. With Mr. Lewis, Ray Lewis, we know that he's retiring,
mm-hmm.
but he's retiring with a lot of controversy attached to him. He's a controversial player to begin with.
Yep.
What are your thoughts about what has happened just in the last few weeks? You had Wes Welker's wife coming out against Mr. Lewis, some haterade on him. Then you have this controversy with the deer antler spray. You know, he was recovering from a torn tricep in October, and allegedly he's being connected to this whole HGH deer antler spray. So, you know, what's the deal with Mr. Lewis? I mean, is there some truth to him not really being an ideal role model, or does it really matter? He performs on the field. I mean, what are your thoughts about him? How he's going to go out and what his legacy is going to be?
I think, I guess, honestly, in my opinion, you know, he is a role model because, you know, look what he's actually doing. It's not just what he's saying and what he's doing. He's changing lives. I mean, he's a guy that speaks to the public as a, you know, he's a motivator. He does public speaking. He gets paid to do that as well. He does it on his own time. I mean, if you look at a Football Life on the NFL Network of Ray Lewis, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, he spent a lot of his own hours with a guy that was dying, and it brought tears to my eyes how heartfelt this man is, you know, how much he works for the people in this community. You know, as far as the deer antler spray, I don't know if he took it, but what I do know, you know, if it went to court, he didn't fail the test. You know, some people want to compare him to Lance Armstrong now because, you know, well, Lance passed the test all of these years. Well, at the end of the day, if they want to find these athletes, you know, if they want to catch the athletes and get the test that are actually accurate, because we know that with all the money that's involved in the sports world, they have the money to do that. So that's in my opinion. Don't be fooled. The problem is that because of the athletes that we see right now, okay, if everybody were to get caught that was doing it, the big time players, if there are big time players, the game is every game in every sport will change. And it comes down to dollars and cents. Now, is that the right thing? I don't know. You know, but that's just in my opinion. That's, you know, you can't tell me they can't find the if they really wanted to test, they do random drug tests in the NFL, right? Okay, why wouldn't they test every game? Why? Why not? They have plenty of time to do it. You know, it's you know, some people have their moral views about that, but hey, that's just the nature of it. You know.
You know,
I'm a big fan of Ray. I really want to see him go out on a high note. He's a great role model. I'm not judging him. I don't like to judge people for what they've done in the past. You know, if I'm not adversely affected by it, I would agree with you that there are haters on the earth. You know, Wes Walker's wife. Well, look what happened. You know, the people that run their mouth usually are the victims of losses in football games. That's why I really get on my team about running their mouth throughout the games and social media and stuff like that. You know, if you go to if you watch the movie with Denzel Washington, what was it, American Gangster, he said, the loudest one is usually the weakest one in the room. I firmly believe that.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to have to close out this segment. I want to make sure that the captain has his questions, you know, if there's any other thing. We're going to obviously have you back. So I'm going to, I really want to bring you back, Martin, to ask you a larger issue with what's mm-hmm. happening with the steroid usage, because that's the main linchpin, really, is, you know, whether it's Lance Armstrong, you know, they seem to focus on individuals. Now they're focusing on what's his name for the Yankees?
A-Rod.
They've been focusing on, yeah, A-Roy or A-Rod.
Growth hormone now. Growth hormone.
I mean, you know, they're focusing on this, on these people, on the individuals, but are they being real about the sports industry in general? You can't. I mean, it's got to be so ubiquitous, so prevalent throughout the entirety of sports. No one's angling in on that. But I want to ask you one quick question, and it goes back to Wes Walker's wife, and then we remember Bunchen, Giselle Bunchen, opened up her fat trap last year. Do you think the wives of these players are a little too close to the game than what we saw 20, 30, 40 years ago? Or they're more known. I mean, the wives have their own kind of world to be able to, you know, you got basketball wives, for Christ's sake. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, it's more Hollywood now than it was. You know, sports and entertainment, or sports and Hollywood, were separate. Now, they're really one and the same. So now you have a wife that can spout off, and we will know what she says. What 30 years ago we might not have known or cared.
I think the wives are, you know, some wives, I can't stereotype and say all wives, you know, you know, they have every opportunity to be out of the limelight. So they bring themselves in at times. In terms of basketball-wise, I had an argument with my cousin about that. That title of that show is totally wrong. It should be called Basketball Groupies, because it has been. Because every one of them was divorced from their husbands on the show. That's why for the life of me I couldn't understand it. It was just a bunch of divorced wives that were angry that they don't have the money that they had now. It's just ridiculous how, you know, how they felt so entitled to this dude's money because he was in the league. You know, I got my own opinion on that, where these guys, you know, targeted by them because of their money. Hey, who knows the nature of their relationship? But what I do know is this, is that she had no business saying that about Ray. That was ridiculous. Not like it was, I'm not saying that from a female or a wife's perspective, like, you know your place. And that's not what I'm saying by any means. But what I'm saying is, she should have shut him up. And if I was Wes Walker, you know how embarrassed I would be. You know, are you serious? You really want to wake up a sleeping lion? Lion? Why would you do that? Why would you put
him
in a situation?
Well, you know something else. It's hateration after the fact. You lost the game. I mean, you should have been angry many games before this. Why are you angry about this particular game? You're angry because your man didn't come out on top.
Hey,
that's what it is.
Exactly.
I'm not really a big Ray Lewis fan, but he put it down. You lost. Go home. Stop being a sore loser.
Hey, she might be mad because every time you advance in the playoffs, it's more cash.
That's another thing.
It's the real thing.
Mr. Adams.
It's dollars and cents.
Mr. Adams, as always, man, you are forever welcome on the show, and we got to get you back real soon. I want to go into this deal with steroidal use. We got to open it up. Actually, I think the captain has a question. Captain, what's up?
All right, you had said before when you were talking about the quarterbacks of San Francisco. I just want you briefly, real briefly, mm-hmm. explain read option to the listeners. In simple terms, from the quarterback perspective.
And that's a hard task to put it in simple terms, but basically it revolves – it's called the zone read. There's a few ways to run it. One is the pistol offense, which they're running with at San Fran. It's different than a shotgun. The difference is the quarterback is at about 4 yards behind the center.
Okay, and we're following
you. The running back is 2 to 3 yards behind the quarterback. That's what makes it dangerous. The reason why it was invented, it was to help the running back go downhill faster, okay? faster as opposed to in the shotgun where he's right where the running back is directly next to the quarterback. He's not going to get that same running start, okay, as he would in the pistol. And what the quarterback is doing in a zone read, he has a key. He has a handoff key and a pitch key. And he looks at the defensive end as he has the ball in the running back's belly. And he's looking at the defensive end's eyes. If that defensive end comes down to tackle the running back, he merely pulls the ball out and he will either run or pass the ball. That's the layman's terms.
Okay.
The zone read offense.
Okay, we got it. We got it. That's it. All right, Sir Raffle Nerd. Afro Nerd.
Maybe experiencing
Afro Nerd.
Some technical difficulties.
No, I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here. I had the
All
mic
right.
off.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Martin, always welcome, man. And we're going to get you back to talk about the steroidal problems. We got to talk about
Please
it.
Please do.
What the hell is going on?
Thank you for having me. Please go to cvpredators.com and visit our team. Chippewa Valley Predators football. We play for the Northern Elite Football League. Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Always.
Always.
Thank you.
He's our go-to guy for sports. Listen, we really should have an Afro Nerd geek show. And you know what, Daryl B. and yourself, maybe I'll peek my head in every once in a while. I'm always learning. It appears I do have sports questions anyway, Captain. Doesn't it?
Yeah, you did very well. You did very well.
Well, you know why? Because I like controversy, unfortunately. So there's a lot of controversy in sports. So, you know, I can find my way into this stuff because there's always something going on. There's some loose mouth broad, to use a colloquial term, that said something that interests me. You know, Wes Welker's wife had a step in it. So that's interesting me. There's something there for me. All right, let's go to a quick groove, ladies and gentlemen. Then we come back. We're going to focus on all blue area. All positive discussion, positive discourse. It is Black History Month. So it's apropos, isn't it? This is Janelle Monae. Dance or Die, featuring Saul Williams. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
Cyborg, Android, D-Boy, Decoy, Water, Wisdom, Tightrope, Vision, Insight, Stronghold, Heartless, Ice Cold, Mastery, Solar, Battery.
Some will pull the gun because they want to be solved. Snatching up your life into the blink of an eye. And if you see your clone on the street walking by, keep it running from your life because only one will survive. Boys in the streets and it's an eye for an eye. Run on for your life or you can know she can die. She praying and listening up to the life and the ride. If you stick up, stick up, then the pick up. Telling lies and telling lies to put your face on fire. Run and take your finger, never dream, never wait. Ghettos keep a crying to the street full of zombies. Kids are killing, kids in the kitchen, the army. Rising and awaking, yes, I hear come the sun. Marching to the ruin, it's the kick of the drum. The wildest in the end, they got the bombs in the gun. So you might as well keep dancing if you're not gonna run.
with him and give him a motto. Hate no more, said he must hate no more. You see the daylight comes into the kingdom, but the kingdom full of ignorant men and keep rebelling away. You gotta dream and awake, because the weatherman you're seeing ain't creating your weather. This man wants to see your jubilation, and that man wants to see emancipation. And then there is a man who wants a stronger nation. But you see, we really got to, and I think that we ought to protect your mind from degradation. Sowing the seeds of education.
Actually stopped that abruptly, folks, for whatever reason. Again, the great Janelle Monae, Dance or Die, featuring Saul Williams. Back into the fold, we're at the quarter point now of Africa featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. I want to give big thanks once again to the Chippewa Valley Predators coach, Martin Adams. And now we're going to do the Blue Area segment. For those who are not really familiar with Blue Area, it's in keeping in line with a show called Afro Nerd. Blue Area references in Marvel comic book lore, in Marvel comic book mythology, the moon being a section of the moon where there's actually oxygen, where you can breathe. They actually have heroes on the moon in Marvel. They're called the Inhumans. I'm getting a little nerdy here, even more nerdy for myself. But again, it's a place where in mythology they can breathe air. So we're going to breathe air more normally than we normally do, with it being, for this segment, all things positive. Not actually, the show, in my estimation, is a positive show regardless. It's just that we do have a tendency to focus on the dysfunctionalism because no one else is doing it, folks. No one else is focusing on the dysfunctionalism. But to be balanced, we do talk about the Blue Area. This is going to be a bit more Blue Area-ish. First up, I was looking at the Daily News, New York Daily News, I believe, yesterday, and there was an article about a young man from Brooklyn, I believe the Clinton Hill section of Brooklyn, 26 years of age. He's an artist, and I thought what he's doing is fascinating. He actually has these quilts. You can definitely simply go to the Daily News or simply Google Miracles Barbershop. That's where he has his works. The young man is Stephen Mosley. Stephen Mosley, who's actually from Bedford-Stuyvesant, but his work is being shown in the Clinton Hills area of Brooklyn. And with the line of establishments in this area, him, his father, and other artists have their wares for show. So if you go to Google, simply go, you know, Google Daily News, New York Daily News, Stephen Mosley, and quilts, and you'll get a chance to see, even online, some of his work. Now, the quilts are Afrocentric, Black history-inspired. Lovely quilts, and quilts, the making of quilts, the knitting of quilts, very endemic to African and African-American culture, especially during slavery times, so he's bringing it full fold. And one of his more popular quilts has the message, I am a man. I am a man. And he has these somewhat introspective, some might say haunting portraits of Black men. But I got to get my behind down there to Myrtle Avenue to check out this man's wares. And also, hopefully, they might be for sale. Maybe they might be available online. He also references Dr. Martin Luther King. He references the protest movement. So they're just lovely to look at. So I got to give my big ups to Mr. Stephen Mosley from Bed-Stuy, who has these quilts. But there are other artists that they're showcasing in this montage of artwork in Brooklyn. And if anyone's familiar with that area of Brooklyn, which is the downtown, more Tony area of Brooklyn, this is not unnatural. You know, Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn specifically, is on the come up anyway. You factor in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which many have would probably say it's another Greenwich Village kind of place where artisans and musicians, you know, this is how these places end up getting gentrified. This is how these places become moneyed, because the artists, the educators, the hipsters, they move in, and then the money follows. It's just the way things are. So, Captain, any thoughts on this young man? Did you get a chance to check out some of his work? I believe I sent you an article on this.
I thought the work was very good. I thought it was very good. I wasn't totally blown away, but I thought it was very good. You know, it was just very, you know, nice to see, you know, on somewhat the grand scale, some of the other things that we're into as a people. Now, those in the know that we're into everything, but as I said before, somewhat on the grand scale, it was just nice to see. And I think, you know, if anyone who has the opportunity to go down there to check it out, you should check it out, including myself. I need to get an up-close view, not just the article view, of exactly what's going on. Back with you, sir, Afternoon.
Yeah, to our listeners, definitely go to afternoon.com. There's a link to the article as well to make things more simple than just Googling this. Simply go to afternoon.com. There's a link to the article. And they can also check out Myrtle Avenue, M-Y-R-T-L-E, myrtleavenue.org for more information. But I hope some of this stuff is available, because I'm looking, even as we speak, I'm looking at some of the work. And it's not just Mr. Mosley. There are other artists there as well. I'm looking at something. Let's see, what am I seeing here? It is an Arlene Jones who has a quilt, and it's entitled Africa on Point, which is kind of a double entendre for her. Africa on Point. But Mr. Mosley's work seems to be more prominent. But again, folks, go to myrtleavenue.org and go to afternoon.com, because we have a link to that. Also, something else, and it bothers me just so much more now, because you have a gentleman that I really wasn't aware of, but I will get to know him, an African-American scientist who received – an award from our president. And, you know, this is something that goes under the cuff. He won the or was awarded the National Medal of Science. And when you find out who he is, what he's doing, a man of color, an educator, and these people aren't interviewed, Captain. We are so much into coonery and chucking and jiving. So I'm going to really work hard to get this gentleman on our show. I've referenced Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've contacted his people. He's going to be doing Cosmos, his own PBS show. So I'm looking at him coming through. But also we have Mr. Sylvester James Gates, Dr. Gates, not Skip Gates, but Dr. James Gates, who is a theoretical physicist. So we're talking about math, science, string theory, supergravity, supersymmetry. I mean, this is the guy that's making moves behind the scenes. He was a graduate of MIT. He gets an award from our president. You know, we have a multiple degreed MIT graduate. He teaches physics at the University of Maryland, folks. College Park, and he gets this award. Do you think Mr. Harvey's going to talk about this gentleman? I have to go there, heck, Captain. I mean, we're going to talk about him, and we're going to get him on this show. But maybe I'm going out of my blue area. I'm trying to be Mr. Happy, but I can't be Mr. Happy.
Yes,
I can't be Mr. Happy. I'm happy for him. But listen, man, this is an accomplished black scientist. And we continue to do the coon dance, watermelon and tap dancing. The watermelon's under my arm, and I'm tap dancing. We got to cut it out. I tried, Captain. I tried my best.
They only had
it's
a few more minutes
area.
To go.
It's still blue area. It's still blue area. But I'm just telling you, I'm just saying that we have to make a concerted effort to interview these people while they are still walking the earth so they can inspire others. We need to know that there are black scientists getting degrees from black presidents. But Mr. Harvey, I'm calling out Steve Harvey, Q. I'm calling him out.
Oh, man.
I listen to him. I'm Unchained again, Captain.
Here
I saw Django.
You were doing so well.
Oh, it's a dream. I unplugged the Matrix cable, Captain. I'm asking our listeners to unplug the damn cable. Stop it with the cooning. Anyway.
Yuck,
and mysticism courtesy of Steve Harvey. Come on. This man might discover the God particle, for Christ's sake. I'm just saying. Anyway. All right, further on, enough. Actually, I think at 8 o'clock in the next 10 minutes, Captain, Eastern Time, there's a movie, Lifetime movie, starring the forever beautiful and not aging. She just doesn't age. Well, she's in shape. She's the quintessential woman of color in my eyes. And my Ms. Angela Bassett. Ms. Angela Bassett, Mary J. Blige, they're going to be in a film portraying Betty Shabazz and Coretta Scott King, and it is appropriately entitled Betty and Coretta. And that's going to be coming on within the next 10 minutes, so I applaud them for doing this. I'm not so sure about the critique of this Lifetime film. I think some are thinking that it's a bit too historical or something, that it's not, dramatic. You know what? Sometimes we need to get this straight without chaser. I'm not going to hate on a Lifetime film entitled Betty and Coretta. I'm just not going to do that. I am intrigued from a historical perspective about the nature of their relationship. I because people have this belief that Malcolm X was a civil rights leader. He wasn't a civil rights leader. He was at odds with Dr. King. He really was. But there was, listen, they were, dare I say, Professor X and Magneto in reality. I mean, that's what Stan Lee, the creator of these characters, led us to believe, that these characters were inspired by Malcolm X and Dr. King. So they were really on opposite sides of the fence as far as black empowerment. But their wives were there, very, powerful, very important to our culture. So I think that this particular film is interesting. I'm glad that they're doing it. So I think that's a positive. It's definitely worthy of a blue area segment or mention. Anything else on that from your view, Captain?
Well, it looks like, I was very surprised when they showed the little clip pertaining to the show. Mary J. Blige looked like she was able to hold up in her, her performance, and the soundtrack seems like it was very well done. Now, I was impressed with that. So that just, drew me in right off of that. It seemed like it's worth watching. Because sometimes when they do these things, it's like, oh, man, come on, man. But this doesn't seem to be the case there.
What you're referencing is having Jay-Z in a Jackie Robinson biopic. That's what you're – is that what I think?
I didn't say that. You said that one. I didn't say it.
Well, folks, just to let you know, there's a upcoming film, I believe it's entitled 47, with Jay-Z music in the background with Jackie Robinson. Now, obviously, it's about Jackie Robinson story. And it looks, very good. It looks good until I hear Jay-Z in the background for a 1940s period movie. It throws me off a little. I'll let that slide. I'll let that slide for a fictional slave movie or fictional Western in Django. But for an actual period piece, I'm not digging it. all right. And there's something else I want to mention as well. We only got a few minutes remaining.
Can't help yourself, can you? Well, go ahead.
No, I can't. It's still listen, it's still positive. I'm still smiling through the mic, folks.
Oh, man. Oh, baby.
referencing Dr. Gates, a different Dr. Gates, Dr. Henry Louis Skip Gates, his Root site, The Root, which I actually dig. I like Dr. Gates. I think that he did a misstep a few years back with Beergate and the whole nonsense attached to that. I've spoken about that. You can check the archives about my feelings about that misstep. Anyway, I can't take anything away from the gentleman's scholarship. And on his website, he has a regular thing called the 100 Amazing Facts About the Negro. The 100 Amazing Facts About the Negro. I would implore you to check it out. Pretty fascinating stuff. And actually, there's a link to that as well at afronerd.com. And he has all kinds of things that he's unwaxing about. One, you know, it's not just anecdotes, but he's also talking about stuff that you might know of today and referencing that. Like there's actually a discussion of whether dogs really ate slaves. Now, what I mean by that, in the Django film, there was a horrific scene where one of the characters was literally eaten alive by dogs. So there's a discussion in the 100 Amazing Facts of the Negro discussing whether that is a factual occurrence, whether it was a factual occurrence. He talks about what was the second middle passage. I didn't know there was a second middle passage. So he talks about what was the second middle passage. Where was the first Underground Railroad? So these are things that he's getting into. You know, the first black man to see the baby Jesus. The truth behind the term 40 acres and a mule, which that we know. But I think it's important for us to get to know our history. We should be fully aware of what's going on with us. And we're not. And that's part of what we're doing here at the show. We've got to make the changes, Captain. We got about a minute and a half remaining. Any thoughts? I think we will continue this on Sunday. I mean, well, Wednesday, sorry.
Wednesday. I will say this. This is a must-read. It's a must-read. We can't let them off so easy. Everybody has to go read this. It's a must-read. Put it plain and simple. I put my mouth on it. Everybody has to go read this. 100. All 100 yeah. things, go read it. Have it read by Wednesday. That's what you have to do. That's your homework. That's the edict has been handed down.
And for our listeners, and I write this on the ghettoized cyber ghetto blog, Media Takeout and Boss and all those other blogs, we've got to make changes. We have no choice now. Second term president of color, we have all these accolades. We have a lot to be proud of. And we have a lot to be concerned with. So come to AfroNerd, AfroNerd.com, AfroNerdRadio.com. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on our Facebook. Check us out. Email us, AfroNerdBlog@Yahoo.com, AfroNerdBlog@Yahoo.com. Give us ideas or guest ideas, and we will try our best to see if we can see these things to fruition. We do play urban alternative music, folks. This is a different scene. And we would implore you to check us out. All right, listen, it's been a pleasure. We'll do it next Wednesday. Enjoy the game. This is Another One Bites the Dust. Wyclef and Queen. See you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Are you ready?
Hey,
are you ready for this?
Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I need a break.
Are you ready?
Hey.
Are you ready for this?
Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I need a break.
Are you ready?
Hey.
Are you ready for this?
Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
I need a break.
Out of the doorway, the bullets rip.
Repeat to the sound of the beat.
Hey.
Yo, I'm for the kids in the club that's ready to get bugged.
Another one bites the dust.
I'm for the thugs with the burners that want to blast off.
Another one bites the dust.
And for the kids on the block shooting at the crooked cops.
Another
loud.
One bites the dust. And another one,
Wyclef,
dumb, and another
Dirty
one,
Cash,
another
Young
one bites
Freak,
the dust, yeah.
Freddie, where you at?
Brooks Burley down the street with the dimple way down low.
Some cat up in Brooklyn just got robbed with a tango.
Are you ready?
Hey,
are you ready for this?
Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
Out of the doorway, the bullets rip.
Repeat to the sound of the beat.
Hey!
My man
man got shot in the block, got hard.
Another one bites the dust.
Yo, hey, yo, I hear more shots. It's like Fort Knox, kid.
Another one bites the dust.
Yo,
and another one done. And another one done.
Check it. If you a soldier at ease, my military style is known to murder Nazis. Brooklyn to Germany, my kamikaze will blow the U2. The high Idi Amin is in Timbuktu. Whether you into or do the voodoo, you can't foresee this unless I bring the previews. Yeah, yeah. Yo, it's the number one rapping band. Yo, this review will be critically acclaimed. Leave you in critical pain, critically insane. The name Y Clef Jean with the yes, yes, y'all. Better have a vest, y'all. I'll blast and bless y'all. F, y'all, the mark of the beast, the 666. Time running out, listen to the tick. If you see what I saw, then you seen what I seen. If you know what I know, you know what I mean. Commanding officer of the Navy SEAL team. Once I get orders, you feel an infrared beam. For all you critics saying another remake.
Another one bites the dust.
Yo. If you know the deal, this is the master real.
Another
kid.
One bites the dust.
Yeah.
And another one.
Right.
And another one.
Right.
Another one bites
Freddie
the dust.
Freddie Mercury, kid. Where you at, yo?
How do you think I'm gonna get along without you while you're gone?
I need a break, yo. If you ready for the first of the month for that welfare.
Kick me
check,
out of my own.
I need a break beat.
Are you satisfied? How long can you stand the heat?
I need a break beat.
Out of the doorway and the village river. See the sound of the beat.
Yo. Bulletproof vest like the Wild Wild West.
Another one bites the dust.
Yo, this is sick up. Now take off your Rolex.
Another one bites the dust.
Come on. Yo, dirty money, good money. Yo, it's all money, money.
Another one bites the dust.
Yo,
and
dirty cash.
One
dirty cash.
Yeah,
yeah. For the love, for the cash, I blast you in my path. Keep my eyes on the map. You cats don't know the half. As far as I'm concerned, you cats can burn in flame. This ain't no game, and we'll start calling names.
Come on.
So come get me if you know the 150. I mean, your refugees ready to bust with me. Bloody, filthy, in this rap, you're gonna have to kill me since you can't beat me. Prize, dirty, cash to the greedy. Believe me, you gotta let me sound like R. Kelly. Fight another dust with my man Freddie Mercury. What hype 90s got your cats wanna be crazy.
Practically, I practically destroy. Deploy more decoys than a president's apartment. My whole envoy stay camouflaged out. And when I walk the street, I take the refugee route. This one go out to all my thugs in the borough. So just stay thorough like Kilimanjaro. Split it with an arrow, my girl platoon roll. Out of control, the female man's ain't gold. Free, I fall from the egg of a seminarian. Don't go down cause I'm a vegetarian. And when I bust it, ain't a God we trust. And if you bring a gun, you better bring a black duck.
She looked into my eyes and said, FBI.
Another one bites the dust.
She said she loved me. She was a spy who lied.
Another one bites the dust.
Right. I could relate. Could you relate?
Another one bites the dust.
Jerry Wonder, Prada.
Another one bites the dust.
Yo, cannabis, California.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, Dirty Cash and Baby 3.
Another one bites the dust. And another
Y
one done.
Another one done.
Another one bites the dust.
Now, baby. Navy
Seal. Another one bites the dust.